My name is Garland Robinson. In a previous lesson, we've talked about the relationship of water baptism and works. We pointed out that there are many different kinds of works mentioned in the New Testament. There are works of the flesh that are immoral, oppose everything that God stands for. There are works of Satan and that originate with him that will cause men to be lost. There are works of moral goodness, things that men believe are to be good and are right, but they cannot say. There are works of the law of Moses, those things of the Old Testament wherein God commanded those people to do things, and yet he says they cannot save us. There are works even of man's righteousness, men doing them thinking that he would draw himself closer to God, but they cannot save. But there are works of God, on the other hand. Man did not devise them, he did not dream them, but rather God has commanded man to do those works. These works involve faith, repentance, confession, and water baptism. And we want to call attention to water baptism. Men many times don't have much problem with what the Bible says on faith. They believe that men need to repent. They even believe that men must confess faith in Christ. But they fuss and argue about water baptism, so it's only right then that we spend some time looking at what the Bible teaches on that subject. This is not man's doctrine. This is not man's idea. It is what God has designed for man to do. There are works that God designed and commands man to do. And when we talk about water baptism, we're talking about the fact that without water baptism, there's no newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. Without water baptism, there's no forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. Without water baptism, there's no union with Christ. There's no being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Without water baptism, one cannot be saved, Mark 16:16. Without water baptism, there's no calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. Without water baptism, there's no adding one to the body of Christ, Acts 2:41 and Acts 2:47. Without baptism, there's no washing away of sins, Acts 22:16. Without water baptism, there's no contact with the blood of Christ, Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. Without water baptism, there's no putting off the old man of sin, Romans 6 and verse 6. And without baptism, there's no being made free from sin, Romans 6 and verse 18. Now I want to consider some other points that the Bible so clearly speaks about in relation to water baptism and works and salvation. Without water baptism, there's no likeness of the Lord's resurrection. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." As Jesus was raised up from the tomb, one who is baptized is raised up from the waters of baptism. That cannot be said of one who believes in Jesus. There's no resurrection there. There's no likeness of the Lord's resurrection. That cannot be said of one who repents of his sins. When one changes their mind about sin and leading to a change of life, that's not when one is raised up with the Lord. It cannot be said of one who confesses faith in Jesus. Simply to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," that's not how one is exemplifying or showing the likeness of the Lord's resurrection. The only likeness of the Lord's resurrection is when one is raised from the watery grave of baptism. Now, if you can find some other symbolism, if you can find some other ways, through some other means, that men show the likeness of the Lord's resurrection, then I'd like to hear it. I'd like to see it. But I know it's not in the Bible, because it's simply not there. Without water baptism, there's no operation of God on our sins. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, we read about God performing an operation. Now, I do not remove my own sins. You do not remove your own sins, nor can anyone else. God is the one who does that. But when does God remove sins? That is done in an operation. God operates on a sinner and takes their sin away, removes them, and discards them, never to be brought up again. That is done in water baptism. God performs an operation on us to remove our sins from our soul. I cannot remove my own sins. It's only done by God. God does not perform that operation when I believe. He does not perform that operation when I repent. God does not perform that operation when I confess faith in Jesus. Colossians 2 and verse 12 clearly shows that God performs His operation when one is baptized in water. Again, I challenge you, find any other passage showing anywhere that God performs His operation as a masterful surgeon, taking away, cutting off of our terrible sin that causes one to be lost and cast them far from us. When does God perform that operation? Colossians 2 and verse 12 is the only place that it reads about it, and it is connection with water baptism. In water baptism, there is a new birth. And without water baptism, there is no new birth. John 3 and verse 5, remember where Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus told Nicodemus that unless one is born again, he cannot be saved. This new birth is made up of water, and it's made up of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals God's will that one must be baptized in water in order to be saved. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, what's so hard and difficult about that? But people want to fuss and argue. They say, "Oh, it doesn't mean both. It just means if you don't believe." Well, I'm sorry, I can understand English better than that. The Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Water baptism is the only action in the whole New Testament that can be connected with a birth. In a birth, a baby comes into the world from a place where he or she is covered, a place that cannot be seen. In water baptism, a person comes into the world from a place where he or she is covered, a place that cannot be seen. One is born the first time in natural childbirth, but one is born again through and in the process of water baptism. Faith, repentance, or confession does not resemble, even remotely, the action of a birth. When one first has faith, I cannot see a new birth there. You cannot see it. You cannot see faith in a person. That's something done in their mind. You cannot see a person repent. Again, repentance is in the mind. It's a change of mind. There's no new birth in connection with repentance. We can hear someone confess faith in Christ, but again, we see no action there in regards to a birth. But when one is baptized, we recognize a new birth. We can see them. They come from a place that is covered, a place that is hidden, and they experience a new birth. We see them coming forth from the waters of baptism, and we recognize and see the action there of birth. Without water baptism, there's no death to sin. In Romans 6 and verse 2, again in verse 11, we talk about the fact that we that are dead to sin should not live any longer therein. Unless one dies to sin, ceases to live a life of sin, there's no forgiveness of sins. Romans 6 makes the connection of dying to sin with water baptism. There's no other place in the New Testament that makes a connection with dying to sin in regards to faith, nor with regards to repentance of sins, nor in regards to confession of faith in Christ. That connection is made in Romans 6, dying to sin with water baptism. Without water baptism, there's no salvation. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Baptism doth also now save us." Now, how much clearer can it be than that? God is saying, read my lips. Baptism doth also now save us. How could it be said any plainer? Is God lying to us? Well, certainly not. He said baptism saves us. He did not say baptism only, but he says baptism is the point at which one changes from the old way of life to a new way of life, and through that act he can safely say that baptism doth also now save us. Can we say that water baptism saves us? Well, the Bible says yes in this verse. But according to other verses, we learn that baptism alone does not save. We do not count on it for salvation. Anyone can be dunked underwater. So then, what does save us? God saves, Jude chapter 1 and verse 25. Jesus saves, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Faith saves, Romans 5 and verse 1. Repentance saves, Luke 13 and verse 3 and again in verse 5. Confession saves, Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10. But no one of these things alone saves. All that we do by faith. Nothing we do is any good without faith. By faith we repent. By faith we confess. By faith we are baptized. So we are justified by faith, Romans 5 and verse 1. But not faith alone, James 2, 24. James 2 complements Romans 4. Lest there's a misunderstanding of Romans 4, James 2 clarifies it. The same example of Abraham is used in both texts. Abraham was saved by faith, but not faith alone. He was saved by faith when he obeyed or when he worked what God told him to do. The word faith is a figure of speech. It's a synecdoche by which a part is put for the whole. When the Bible says we're saved by faith, it does not mean faith alone, nothing more, nothing less. James 2 makes this clear. Faith is believing and trusting in God. Faith is doing what God says, when He says, why He says, and how He says. Active faith involves the whole plan of salvation, not just faith alone. It's not hard to understand what Jesus said to do to be saved in Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe it? Will you obey it? That's the question.